Please pay careful attention to what Brother Stephen Lett, a visiting member of the governing body, has to say. Brother Lett's theme is, Beware of the Voice of Strangers. It is estimated there are 1.5 million species of animals on the earth today. But of all these animal species, which one is most often used in the Bible to represent good people, people who will gain everlasting life? Well, the answer, sheep. For example, many times as recorded in the Bible, Jesus likened his true disciples to sheep. But the question arises, why? Why are God's people, Jesus' true disciples, those who will gain everlasting life, likened to sheep? Well, to get the answer, let's go to John chapter 10, and let's pick out three qualities of literal sheep which will help us to understand why they're used to illustrate good people. John chapter 10, please. And let's read beginning in verse 3. Verse number 3, it says, The doorkeeper opens to this one, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has got all his own out, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they will by no means follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Did you pick out those three characteristics of literal sheep? You notice, they know the shepherd's voice. They obediently follow the shepherd, and they reject the voice of strangers. Some years ago, the Awake magazine related an experience about literal sheep, which really highlighted those three characteristics of literal sheep. It mentioned about a stranger who declared to a Syrian shepherd that it was not the voice the sheep recognized, but it was the dress of the shepherd. The shepherd said, no, it's the voice. To prove his point, he exchanged dresses with the stranger. Now the stranger, wearing the shepherd's dress, went among the sheep and tried to imitate the shepherd. But the sheep refused to respond. They rejected him. But then when the shepherd, although wearing the stranger's dress, when he called the sheep, they responded immediately. So notice those three qualities of literal sheep. They know the shepherd's voice. They obediently follow only the shepherd. And they reject the voice of strangers. But now the question for all of us, as spiritual sheep, do we listen only to the voice of Jehovah the Great Shepherd and Jesus the Fine Shepherd? Do we obediently follow the direction we receive from them through the Bible and the faithful and discreet slave? And very importantly, and in harmony with the theme of this talk, do we reject the voice of strangers? Now it's very important that we remain sheep-like in these three ways, because only sheep-like ones will Jehovah usher into his new world. But now let us focus, concentrate on this third characteristic of literal and spiritual sheep. They do not respond to the voice of strangers. They reject such. Now we ask, first of all, what do we mean by this expression, the voice of strangers that we must reject? Well, here's the definition. It's any communication that differs from what Jehovah and Jesus tell us. You get that? Any communication that differs from what Jehovah and Jesus tell us, that's the voice of strangers. Ultimately, who is the source of such communication? that's different, opposed to what Jehovah and Jesus tell us? Well, of course, it's the devil, isn't it? Yes, the voice of strangers originates with the devil. In fact, that makes us think of the very first example of a stranger's voice being heard. You know when that was? It was in the Garden of Eden when Satan spoke through a serpent to Eve. And what was the result? Eve listened to that perfect stranger and disbelieved Jehovah. And what was the sad consequence? As a result, Eve sinned, then Adam sinned, passed on sin and death to their offspring. As mentioned in Romans 5:14, since that time, death has ruled as king over the human race. So what tragic consequences of listening to a stranger. Of course, today, Satan doesn't speak to us by means of a serpent in an effort to mislead us. However, he does utter his voice through human agencies. And he's very pleased when he's able to use humans to utter his lies, to utter the voice of strangers. Well, what are some of these human agencies that Satan uses today to promote the voice of strangers? Well, let us discuss for the next few minutes five examples of the modern day voice of strangers that we must beware of. We will discuss five. Now, the first one, and foremost on the list of these strangers who use their voice to voice Satan's lies, are apostates. Did you get that? Apostates. As mentioned at Hebrews 13:9, apostates promote strange teachings. And why do they do this? They're trying to undermine the spiritual balance of Christ's true followers. If you turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 30, you'll notice an interesting description of some of the methods that they use, these apostates, in order to deceive. Acts chapter 20, and please, let's read verse 30. Verse number 30. It says, "And from among you yourselves men will rise and speak twisted things to draw away the disciples after themselves." So you notice, they speak twisted things, these apostates. What do we mean by twisted things? Well, something that's twisted, it's bent. It is distorted, isn't it? And that's what they do with a Bible truth or some truth about Jehovah's people. They twist it into a half-truth, by leaving out some vital detail or some other way manipulating the truth into a misleading half-truth. If you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, here's another description of the methods of these apostates who speak the voice of strangers. 2 Peter chapter 2, and let's notice verse number 3. Verse 3, it says, "Also with covetousness, they will exploit you with counterfeit words. But as for them, the judgment from of old is not moving slowly, and the destruction of them is not slumbering." So notice, they use counterfeit words. What do we mean by counterfeit words? Well, a counterfeit is carefully designed to look like the real thing, but it's a fake, isn't it? For example, counterfeit money. Now, if it's of high quality, it looks very close to genuine currency. But it's worthless, isn't it? Because it's a fake. Now, if you accept counterfeit money, you lose money. But if you accept the counterfeit words of apostates, you can lose your life. We must beware of this voice of strangers. But you know, sadly, some even among Jehovah's people have foolishly reasoned that it would be beneficial to give ear to the voice of apostates. They thought, you know, if I read his book, if I listen to him on television, if I listen to him via the computer, then I'll be able to see how wrong they are. And actually, they'll build up my faith. And if I ever encounter this kind of reasoning out in the ministry, I'll be able to better refute it. Well, dear friends, that kind of reasoning is very foolish. In fact, I'd like to illustrate how foolish it is. What would you think of a person who said, if I eat stinky, rotten garbage out of a garbage can, it will really help me in the future to recognize bad food? That is foolish and dangerous reasoning, is it not? And remember, the loyal, obedient reaction of a spiritual sheep is to reject the voice of strangers. But now let's talk about a second example of a modern-day voice of strangers we must beware of. If you'll open up to Proverbs chapter 5, let's see what it is. Proverbs chapter 5, and let's read verse 3. It says, for as a honeycomb, the lips of a strange woman keep dripping, and her palate is smoother than oil. And look at chapter 7, verse 5. Chapter 7, verse 5, it says, to guard you against the woman stranger, against the foreigner who has made her own saying smooth. And then look at verse 21 of that chapter 7. She has misled him by the abundance of her persuasiveness. By the smoothness of her lips, she seduces him. Now, who is this woman stranger? Well, she is representative of anyone, male or female, who would try to lure us into sexual immorality. It could be someone at work, someone at school. It could even be someone in the congregation who is spiritually weak and fleshly. Anyone who tries to lure us into sexual immorality, this strange woman would represent. Consider the experience of Amy, one of Jehovah's Witnesses, who is an attractive 27-year-old secretary. Now, here's what she said. She said, this man at work gives me a lot of attention and praises me at every opportunity. It feels nice to be noticed, but I can see clearly that his interest in me is strictly sexual. I am not going to be taken in by his advances. See, wisely, Amy was one who would beware of this voice of a stranger who was trying to lure her into sexual immorality. Well, let's talk about a third example of a modern-day voice of strangers we must beware of. That is schoolmates who try to convince you, dear young ones, to disbelieve your parents who obviously love you. Schoolmates who would try to convince you not to believe your parents, but your parents, those Christian parents, really love you. Consider the experience of 17-year-old Amanda. Let me share her experience. She said, for a while, my faith was weakened to a certain extent by my classmates. They kept saying that my religion was restrictive and unreasonable, and this began to discourage me. My parents, however, helped me to understand that Christian guidelines serve to protect rather than restrict. Now I realize that these principles are helping me to have a more satisfying life than that of my former school companions. I have learned to trust the ones who really care for me, my parents and Jehovah, and I am enjoying pioneer work. Well, that's true of you, dear young ones, out in our audience. So you have to be careful, because these fleshly-minded schoolmate strangers may try to convince you that your parents and your religion is too restrictive, and you're missing out on a lot of fun. But when I think of that, I think of Eve, the Garden of Eden. Now, that's what Satan did. He convinced Eve that she was missing something. Isn't that true? Now, it's true that Eve was missing something. But what was Eve really missing? She was missing becoming a disease-dying sinner. She was missing her beautiful skin wrinkled up like a prune. She was missing her beautiful hair turned gray. She was missing hobbling around with a cane and finally dying. That's what she was really missing. But Satan convinced her she was missing something good, even though she was missing nothing. And the same way with you, dear young ones. Some of these fleshly-minded schoolmates may try to convince you that you're missing something. But don't be foolish like Eve. You know, Eve very foolishly believed a stranger who had done nothing to prove his love for her. And she disbelieved Jehovah, who had done everything for her and obviously was the one that loved her. And sadly, sometimes young ones will believe stranger schoolmates who've done nothing. And they'll disbelieve their parents who feed them, clothe them, sit with them when they're sick, and are obviously the ones that love them. So we say to you, dear young ones, don't be foolish like Eve. See, don't allow this voice of strangers that could come to you in the form of schoolmates to deceive you. But now let us move along and discuss our fourth example of a modern day voice of strangers that we must beware of, and that is strangers who may try to talk to us via the internet. Did you get that? Strangers who may try to talk to us via the internet. The internet is an area where devious strangers who do not respect Bible principles often prowl, and they seek to promote their perverse opinions. We must beware of the spiritual and moral dangers that lurk in some websites, email messages, and chat rooms. The November 1999 Kingdom Ministry asked these questions. Would you invite a stranger into your home without first finding out who he is? What if there was no way to find out? Would you allow such a stranger to be alone with your children? This is an indisputable possibility on the internet. So we must beware of this situation. And what makes these strangers on the internet especially dangerous? Well, look at Psalm 26, please. And let's identify one thing that makes them especially dangerous. Psalm 26, verse 4. Here David said, I have not sat with men of untruth, and with those who hide what they are, I do not come in. So notice that, those that hide what they are. And that often is the case with these ones on the internet, isn't it? They hide who and what they are. They may claim to be one of Jehovah's Witnesses, but really, they're not. Maybe a disfellowship person. An apostate is really what they are. They may falsely claim to be a youth or even of a certain gender. And really, they may be a pedophile. Appropriately, the faithful and discreet slave has recommended as a safeguard that computers be located in well-traveled areas of the home and be used only when others are at home. And if we come across an objectionable website by accident, or if one pops up, maybe without warning, we should resolve to leave it immediately or shut down the browser. Sadly, some have been disfellowshipped for immorality, have left their mates to pursue other relationships, and have even disowned the truth as a result of the influence of strangers met on the internet. Yes, there are plenty of reasons to beware of this voice of strangers. But now let's discuss our fifth example of a modern-day voice of strangers, and that is the voice of strangers that is often heard in the media. Did you get that? The voice of strangers often heard in the media. It could be on the radio, the television, or in publications. You know, hatred, pride, ambition, and profit often drive what is presented in the media. False and exaggerated news reports are very common. So if we hear or read a distorted report about Jehovah's Witnesses, one that's designed to cast Jehovah's people in bad light, should we believe it? We'll open up Proverbs chapter 14 and notice the warning that's contained here. Proverbs chapter 14. Please, let's read the warning that is found in verse 15. Proverbs 14, verse 15. It says, anyone inexperienced puts faith in every word. Or another translation says, a fool will believe anything. But notice the rest of the scripture. But the shrewd one considers his steps. So notice, it would be very unwise to believe such reports heard in the media. Now, let me give you just an example of how distorted things can be. A while back, a television channel in Moscow gave the report to the viewers that Jehovah's Witnesses had collaborated with Hitler in Nazi Germany. Now, what a flagrant example of a false report. There's abundant evidence that thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses died in Hitler's death camps because they refused to collaborate with Hitler. Here's another example. In Switzerland, many people were indignant when an emotional press report stated that a young female witness of Jehovah died because she refused a blood transfusion. But was that really the true story? Well, the truth is that she refused a blood transfusion, but she accepted non-blood management of her blood situation. And often it's much superior. But what happened? The medical staff refused to give her this non-blood treatment, even though they could have done this. They delayed matters until it was too late. Unnecessarily, they did so. Whereas if they would have implemented these non-blood procedures, undoubtedly it would have saved her life. But now, did they put that in the news report? Absolutely not. Very conveniently, they left those details out of the report. Yes, the media often resembles apostates in the way they manipulate the truth in order to come up with something sensational, an attention-grabbing report. While it is unreasonable to distrust all secular information, we must recognize, as 1 John 5:19 says, that the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. So in the final part of the last days, where we find ourselves in the stream of time, we should expect that Satan and the demons would saturate this world with harmful information against Jehovah's people. Well, we have five human agencies used by Satan to voice the voice of strangers. Do you have them? The voice of apostates. The voice of anyone who tries to lure us into sexual immorality. The voice of schoolmates who may try to persuade you to disbelieve your parents who love you. And number four, strangers who may try to talk to us via the internet. And number five, the voice of strangers that may be heard in the media. Now, this list is by no means comprehensive. We said before, the voice of strangers really encompasses any information or communication that comes to us that is different from what Jehovah and Jesus tell us through the Bible and through the faithful and discreet slave. But now let us discuss a little further why sheep do not respond to the voice of strangers. As we mentioned previously, literal sheep have a keen sense of who is their shepherd and who is not. They are thoroughly familiar with their shepherd and his voice. No matter how tricky or how deceptive the stranger tries to be, they're not fooled, are they? Similarly, as faithful spiritual sheep, we become thoroughly familiar with our shepherds, Jehovah and Jesus, and their voice. And thus we can quickly recognize the voice of strangers. 2 Timothy 1:13 says that we should keep holding the pattern of helpful words. So if something doesn't fit the voice pattern of Jehovah and Jesus, we reject it, don't we? If we hear or read something that sounds questionable, what should we do? 1 John 4:1 says that we should test the inspired expression to see if it really originates with God. Now, how can we test it? Well, we can ask ourselves several questions. Questions such as, is the information before us different from what we've been taught through the faithful slave? Another question, is the person who's spreading the message speaking to honor the name of Jehovah, or is he trying to exalt himself? Another question, is the information in harmony with the overall teachings of the Bible? So only if the expression passes that test should we believe it. At Galatians 1:8, Jehovah tells us that even if an angel should tell us something contrary to the pattern of helpful words, his declaration should be rejected immediately. But now here's a question. As faithful sheep, how do we maintain keen familiarity with the voice of our great shepherd, Jehovah God, so that we're not even slightly fooled by a stranger? Well, how does Jehovah speak to us? He speaks to us through his word, the Bible, doesn't he? So by daily Bible reading, we become thoroughly familiar with the voice of our great shepherd, Jehovah, and we're not fooled by a stranger. Well, what about the voice of Jesus? Should we listen to his voice? Well, what did Jehovah tell us at Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, when Jesus was baptized? Jehovah said, "This is my son, the beloved, whom I have approved. Listen to him." So Jehovah himself tells us to listen to Jesus. Now, what are some things that Jesus has told us? Well, let's just briefly discuss three examples. Matthew 24, 45 through 47, Jesus has placed the faithful and discreet slave over all his belongings. Now, what does this indicate? That Jesus implicitly trusts the faithful and discreet slave. Well, what's the implication for us? We should trust the faithful and discreet slave, no matter what the apostates or other strangers might try to say in a disparaging way. Another thing Jesus has told us, Matthew 19:9, that we should shun fornication and adultery. Now, this is different, isn't it, from the voice of strangers at work, at school, perhaps on the internet, who would try to lure us into immorality? But we listen to Jesus, don't we? Another example, Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus says, "Go make disciples and preach." Now, again, this is different from what is often presented in the media or by apostates or other strangers who try to minimize the seriousness of the preaching work. Or maybe they try to belittle us for engaging in it. But again, we listen to Jesus, don't we? But now we ask this question, what is the proper reaction of a sheep? Not only should he not follow the stranger, let's go back to John chapter 10 and read verse 5 again, and we want to emphasize just a little bit further the proper reaction for a sheep-like person to the voice of a stranger. John chapter 10, and let's read again. We read it earlier, but let's read verse 5. It says, "A stranger they will by no means follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers." So notice, not only do we not follow the stranger, we flee from him. Now let's just talk about this proper reaction just for a moment. What if someone gives voice to apostate ideas? Titus 3:10 says, "As for a man that promotes a sect, reject him." Romans 16:17 says, "Now I exhort you, brothers, to keep your eye on those who cause divisions and occasions for stumbling, contrary to the teaching that you have learned, and avoid them." So notice, reject him, avoid them. What if someone tries to lure us into sexual immorality? Well, we should act like sheep, like Joseph, to sex-mad Potiphar's wife. When she grabbed a hold of him, what did he do? Genesis 39:12 tells us he took to flight and went outside. See, isn't that a proper, loyal, sheep-like reaction? What if someone tries to promote wrongdoing to us at school or through the internet? 2 Timothy 2:22 says we should flee from the desires incidental to youth. So we don't linger, we get away from it immediately. What if we read or hear something that is presented in the media that is questionable, designed to cast Jehovah's people in a bad light or put doubt in our mind? 2 Timothy 4:4 says we should not turn aside to false stories, but we should keep our senses in all things. So we reject it. But now here's one more question. What will be our reward if we listen only to the great shepherd Jehovah and the fine shepherd Jesus and reject the voice of all strangers. What will be our reward? Well, if we're Spirit anointed ones, we'll be privileged to hear the fine shepherd speak the words of Luke 12:32 to us personally. What are those words? Have no fear, little flock, because your Father has approved of giving you the kingdom. On the other hand, if we're of the other sheep class, we'll be privileged to hear the sweet words of Jesus recorded in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, directed to us personally. What are those words? Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who have been blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world. May all of us here get to hear those sweet words. And we will, if we continue to joyfully serve under the loving care and protection of the one shepherd, Jesus. And may we do so until no more voices of strangers are heard in the universe. Only the voice of Jehovah and Jesus will be heard loud and clear. But until that marvelous day, may everyone here beware of the voice of strangers.